Blog Talk Radio.
May Jesus guide all your steps.
Body
and protect you at all times in spirit, mind, and body to come closer to Jesus.
Save me.
Blood
of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me, O good Jesus, hear me within your wounds, O Lord, hide me.
Artist Donna Corey Gibson, and she is wonderful, is she not? She is Donna Corey Gibson, and so we are so thankful for all our everybody that's listening in tonight. I've got Doc from Tennessee. Oh, Dr. Gregory Thompson's here. How you doing, Greg?
Are you still there? You have reached the maximum time permitted
Uh-oh.
For recording your message. If you are...
Well, it looks like... Well, let me try Greg one more time. I got Mike from New Jersey and Doc from Texas, or Tennessee, what am I saying? Well, we'll try Doc, or I mean, Gregory one more time and see if he pops in.
May Jesus guide all your steps and Our Lady protect you at all times in spirit, mind, and body to come closer to Jesus for eternity. Put all the information you need for me to contact you. God bless you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's Greg. Now, he's not on board right now. And I want to say, howdy, a great deeper truth salute to Mary, who I just met at Prince of Peace in Olathe, Kansas. And so she's listening tonight, and I just want to say and give a deeper truth salute, salute to Mary and her family and all those in Prince of Peace. And so I've got Mike. Mike from New Jersey. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Outstanding, man. I'm winning the battles. That's all that matters. I'm winning the battles. And I got Doc from Tennessee. How you doing, Doc?
I'm happy and blessed, better than I deserve. I'm a warrior for God.
There you go, a warrior.
He fights
now,
every day, brother.
I want to try to get Greg, see if Greg popped on here. He's in the switchboard, but that doesn't mean he's on the phone. Greg, are you there? Gregory, are you there? Let me try one more time. That's what I got, so I'm going to try one more time. Maybe he's just getting in, and sometimes that happens. So hopefully, if Greg isn't there, we will start. But I just want to give him one last shot to see if he can come in.
May Jesus guide all your steps, and Our Lady protect you at all times in spirit, mind, and body to come closer to Jesus for eternity. Put all the information you need for me to contact you. God bless.
Well, that's Greg, but that's not live. So he's out doing deeper truth work, and that's okay. Sometimes that happens. So we're going to talk about the supernatural events surrounding the Eucharist for all to know. And so did you know St. Catherine of Siena, she received Holy Communion from our Lord himself. Now, Doc, you received the Eucharist before, haven't you?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, I have. We're as unworthy as I am, I've been graced with the blessing of receiving the Eucharist.
Okay. And, Mike, you have received the Eucharist as well, right?
Pardon me?
Mike? From New Jersey,
yeah,
you there?
Here.
Okay, now
I'm
you
here.
Have received the Eucharist. You've received the Eucharist, right?
Well, most of the time. We have somebody come
okay.
down here and give us communion.
Okay, well, the point I'm making, though, St. Catherine of Siena, she received Holy Communion from our Lord himself. Now, ain't that pretty cool? Would you guys, what would you guys think if Jesus gave you Holy Communion himself? Doc, what would you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't make mistakes, but I'd have to question that one.
what about you, Mike?
To tell you the truth, I mean, no, real quick, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't want that. I mean, I try to stay low-key, so no, that's not me. There are much more worthy people out there.
Well, if Jesus was to give you Holy Communion, he would disagree with you. If he was to give you Holy Communion, he would have thought you were worthy. He thought you were worthy if he did that himself.
I wouldn't have been by no means, but wow. You know
just
he's
the
a word
that,
from...
Right?
Huh?
I mean, just the thought of, well, St. Catherine of Siena, she received Holy Communion from our Lord himself. And how special that is. And St. Catherine, she also received communion from angels. Now, ain't that something? Angels. And so, and when we receive our Lord from the hands of a priest, that is still Jesus that we're receiving, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And it's a miracle. Every time we receive Holy Communion at Mass, that is a miracle. And the Eucharist distinguishes, I mean, you know, she could just make that distinction. St. Catherine could distinguish between a consecrated host from an unconsecrated host. So if you take a consecrated host and put it, let's say, on a table, a consecrated host, and you put a the unconsecrated host near it and put, let's say you have one consecrated host and you take six unconsecrated hosts, she would be able to identify the consecrated host from the unconsecrated ones. Ain't that something? I mean, that's...
Go ahead.
I just think that's miraculous.
Well, one day we'll all have that honor.
Well, yeah, you might be right there. When we're in heaven, yeah, well, definitely. Let me see if...
Power of the Eucharist, the things that we've talked about on this show over
yeah.
the small time. I mean, this has been around 10 years. I've only been on it for a fraction of that, but the things that we've covered on this show, the power of the Eucharist, just the documented stuff. Forget all the stuff that people don't have, that hasn't been documented or hasn't been approved that's still under investigation. Just the documented stuff. If you still doubt after that, I mean, you were destined to have the blinders on. I mean, there's just so many Eucharistic miracles. Books have been written about it. Movies have been made about it. Miraculous things that cannot be explained by our limited knowledge of science. I just don't understand why people doubt it, why they look for doubt, why they look for the deception. I mean, don't be blind to it by any doubt. If you see the deception, and yeah, be vigilant for that, but when the miracles are there and they've been investigated and the proof is there, the proof will out, they say, and yet people still doubt it. I just don't get it. I really don't. Eucharist is the most powerful weapon we have against evil. And people go in line nonchalantly, like it's almost a reflex action instead of what they're actually doing. You're going up there to receive a piece of the beatific vision. To carry in your body. You are the, and I'm a poor example of it, but you are the temple of the Holy Spirit when you receive communion. And the people take that so lightly. And when you take it lightly, we don't talk about punishment enough, but there is a punishment for that. So don't take it lightly. What do you think of that, Don?
Well, we need to... That's why we encourage people to go to confession, because when you go to Mass and receive the Eucharist, we want to be in the state of grace. That's something that we have to be in the right mind and in the state of grace. And so we need to be living out our faith. And here's something here. As Father Stephen elevated the Eucharist and recited the words, "Holy things to the holy," the monastic cell in which he was celebrating the liturgy was filled with a brilliant light that emanated from the Eucharist, the celebrant himself. From that occasion onward, he received the mystical favor that whatever intention he prayed for during the Eucharistic liturgy was granted. Now, That's powerful. And I will tell you that when I was in Iraq at the Easter celebration, I was at the Easter Mass in Baghdad, and I had 100 soldiers that I had helped bring into the Catholic Church that Easter vigil. And we were all together, and we were over onto the side there, not too far from where the choir was. And as Father, I mean, this whole, the church, the chapel was chained shut all the way around except for the very entrance where everybody kind of came in through. So there was a door over on the right-hand side of the church there, but it was chained shut. And why is that important? Because this, as Father was saying the consecration of the Eucharist, as he elevated the Eucharist, the chains on that door, on the side door, dropped, and the door swung open, and the light, the sun shined, the sun came shining in through the door right there upon the host as Father had consecrated it. And it just like, I mean, we were all like just going, wow, that was amazing. That was amazing. And that is a true story. And so in this here point, when this priest said holy things to the holy, the monastic cell in which he was celebrating the liturgy was filled with a brilliant light that emanated from the celebrant himself. And from that occasion onward, he received the mystical favor that whatever intention he prayed for during the Eucharistic liturgy was granted. And so that was powerful. And to me, what we experienced there in Baghdad on Easter Sunday at the Mass, as Father elevated the host in consecration, the light came in from the side door that had been chained shut, and the chains just opened up the door, and the doors opened without anyone being there to open it. It just opened up, and we were just like, wow. And I went over there after the Mass afterwards, and I just inspected the place, and there was nothing there that would have nothing naturally that would have done that. You know what I'm saying? Mike, what do you think of that?
I think that's amazing. You also have a miracle that's a lot closer to us. Anyone who saw the eclipse yesterday or the day before, I don't know how they can say there is no God.
Well, that's very interesting because it's very similar. Go ahead there, Doc. Go ahead, Doc.
Happy Annunciation. Yesterday during the eclipse, a lot of people forget that it was a celebration of the Annunciation of Jesus to Mary from the angel Gabriel. And so
it had been moved because it was celebrated actually before, but it had been moved and was actually celebrated yesterday. So, I mean, it was just I had done an article on it and a show on it. But I had done it prior to that because the actual day of the church, it had actually been moved to yesterday. So, and the Annunciation is so important.
So, there you go.
Let me try one more time to see if Greg is there, just to, because I'd like to get Greg in on this, but.
Jesus,
you know,
guide all your steps, and Our Lady
protect
you at all times in spirit, mind, and body to come closer.
Well, it doesn't look like he's going to make it tonight, but that's okay. He is doing deeper truth work, and so that's why we call him Deeper Truth Man of the Millennium. That's why we call him that, because he's always on the go. And he said this morning that he would be here, but, you know, obviously something came up. And so something comes up, well, that happens. Well, this particular saint accomplished many miracles and was favored with great mystical gifts. And on the day of the Annunciation in 1453, Peter was transported by the angels from the monastery of Brasco to the monastery in Aguilera, So he went from one monastery to another monastery, ported by angels, where there was an image of the Virgin Mary that he loved so much. And he collected himself in prayer. Could you imagine that? And then returned to the original monastery to recite the morning prayers. And leaving in astonishment the friars of both monasteries, they were just like, wow. Could you imagine that? Having somebody just flying through the air like that, being carried by angels. Could you imagine witnessing that? What do you think about that, Mike? Mike, what do you think of that?
Well, I'm looking at, I can barely hear you guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, can you hear me better? I feel like I'm Verizon or something. Yeah, can you hear me now? Okay, well, taken by angels from one monastery, carried to another monastery. And just thinking about that, just, you know, it said that the friars at both locations were just in a state of, like, astonishment. could you imagine, you know, seeing a saint being flying through the air by angels? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be something to see?
Angelic airways.
Right?
Angelic airways, I like that. What's that, Doc?
That'd be life-changing to witness something like that.
Well, I would have to say so. And that's what I just think. And though Catherine suffered much during demonic manifestations, her love for God did not dwindle, nor her obedience to the church. Through all this, Catherine's faith and her reception of the sacraments strengthened her. It was during Mass, as she received Jesus in the Eucharist, that Catherine explained what happened. She said that she felt and tasted the sweetest, purest flesh of the Immaculate Lamb, Christ Jesus. Catherine also went on to explain this to her fellow sisters. She said that sometimes the devil inspires souls with an inordinate zeal for a certain virtue or some special pious exercise so that they will be motivated by their passion to practice it more and more. And this temptation is more to pride rather than virtue. And so sometimes, on the other hand, the devil coaches souls do less than they can really do. And this temptation is more to false humility. In both cases, the devil's goal is to make the soul discouraged when the virtue is found to be unattainable and to be wearied and disgusted if their efforts are below their abilities. So the soul ends up neglecting everything. In other words, kind of gives up. It is necessary to overcome the one snare as the other. And so we must practice our faith and don't get down, you know. Always seek to improve and always be right, the right motivation. Love God, know God, serve God. And if we practice this, our faith has to be we have to practice our faith, just like an athlete. An athlete has to practice and to, you know, get ready for events. Well, our faith, we must also practice and to go to Mass in the right mindset, and to know that Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and to go in with a humble heart and a humble mind to receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so the Lord would often show Catherine through visions the enormity of what sin can do to a person's soul. If they die unrepentant, her glimpse of the final judgment was so horrified and terrified Catherine that she then cried out in horror at such a shocking sight. Catherine went on to warn others of this terrible plight and how to avoid it in her writings. And she said, whoever wishes to carry the cross for his sake must take up the proper weapons for the contest, especially those mentioned here. First, diligence. Second, distrust of self. Third, confidence in God. Fourth, remembrance of passion. Fifth, mindful of one's own death. Sixth, remembrance of God's glory. Seventh, the injunctions of sacred scripture, following the example of Jesus Christ in the desert. So we just have to keep our focus and our azimuth straight. Keep our azimuth straight and our focus. Keep it on Jesus. You agree with that there, Mike?
Mike,
you there?
Help. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I just wondered if you agreed with what I just shared. Yeah.
Quite an amazing. You know something else that's amazing?
What's that?
Well, that's when, if you look at the eclipse that we saw yesterday, and you
well,
know
we didn't
that
see it here
God
in Kansas.
The Father
in
at
Kansas,
the moment of creation had to get everything lined up. So
yeah.
The darkness at noon, the darkness at noon of the crucifixion would come at exactly the right time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Man doesn't have the kind of capacity to do that.
No, we don't. I was thinking about what you were saying, Don, about practicing our faith. We have to train. You're right. I've been saying that forever. Get you a catechism. 1955 would be a good one. Open it up and read it. See what we're supposed to be doing. See what we're... As Catholics, what our responsibility is, especially the men. I hate to say it, but, you know, somebody has to call us out. Men have gotten lax in the church. We have gotten lax in the church, and we need to stop being lax because we will be judged by our fruits, by what we have done in our life. And we need to start being valiant men, and we need to stand up for Holy Mother Church. And not allow the corruption. We need to study our faith. Read the early church fathers. It's on PDF. You can get it. It's an interesting read. Read what was going on at the time of Christ and shortly after. The actual foundations of what we believe as Catholics. And it'll tell you why we believe it. Why do you, you know, that's one thing I ask. I've been to a lot of different churches, a lot of different religions, and I asked why. Why do you believe this? And most of the time, the answer was you got to have faith. Well, I'm sorry, I have faith. That's why I'm here, but I needed something more to go with. The Catholic Church actually has answers. At this date, this time, this person did this. This miracle happened. This gift was given from heaven to us. To further our understanding of God. You know, if you study this and you come proficient in this, no weapon can be used against you. You have the armor of the church. You have the shield and the staff and the sword of the rosary, and you will be unstoppable. You will be a warrior for God. And Lord knows we need them. So, yes, train like your soul depends on it. Because it does. What do you think of that?
Well, this is all important. And I love these Eucharistic miracles. And I love that our faith has to be strong. And so it has to be built. Now, this is interesting here. Here's a saint. He was supposed to be fixing a meal for the congregation, you know, for this is at a monastery. And he was supposed to be fixing a meal. But instead of being in the kitchen, he went over to the church and was doing Eucharistic adoration and had been there for all the morning. And so when it was close to the noon hour, the father guardian, the guy that's kind of the head of that monastery there, went to the kitchen to see what Brother Salvatore had prepared. And he found the kitchen locked. And after looking for Salvatore for a considerable time, he finally found him kneeling before the Blessed Sacrament, deeply absorbed in prayer. And I was with the Blessed Sacrament tonight. I was at a mission tonight a little bit. And beforehand, I went in where the Blessed Sacrament was exposed. And I went in there and I said, "May the most holy, most sacred, most adorable, serious, and unutterable name of God be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, and under the earth by all the creatures of God and by the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ in the most holy sacrament of the altar." And then I was only there for just a short time, but it was great to be able to spend some time with our Lord in the Eucharist. And I encourage anybody out there, if you get a chance to do Eucharistic adoration, do so. Pray the Rosary or the Divine Mercy, or go in and say, "I love you, Lord." And how astonished, however, were the saint and this guy, the man, when they arrived at the kitchen and found that all the food was ready to be served. The angels had substituted for Salvatore, who was supposed to be cooking. But he went into an Eucharistic adoration, and while he was doing Eucharistic adoration, the angels went in there and did the cook. And to me, that is so awesome. And that's what I would call angel food. Wouldn't you say that, Doc, that would be angel food right there?
Yeah, definitely angel food.
I mean, think about that one for a minute. I mean, the guy that was supposed to be fixing it happened to be in the church doing Eucharistic adoration. And the guy that was supposed to be fixing it wasn't. And so the angels went in there and covered for him. Now, that is really cool. And here's one more of these. In 1925, Pope Pius IX, actually Pope Pius XI, declared that Rose of Rome was the patron saint of automobiles. Why? Because an angel used to light the road before her with a lantern, keeping her safe from hazards. Now, can you imagine that? So canonized in 1608 in Rome, Pope Paul V, major shrine church of Santa Francesca Romana, Rome, Italy. Wow. And so she is the patron of automobile drivers and widows. Wow, I have to remember that.
I can imagine. I've had a similar experience. We were transferring, I don't know if anybody's heard this, we were transporting a rather large boat behind a dump truck. And the dump truck would have caused a downdraft. And branches would have been slammed into the top of this boat. And I said a prayer for us before we went on our merry little way. And I'm watching the branches lift up out of the way for this boat all the way to our destination. It shouldn't have happened. The top part of that boat should have hit several branches, and not a single leaf touched it. So I can relate. I've seen it happen. You ask for God's help, and, He's there. know, sometimes the answer is no, and we have to accept that. But sometimes it's yes. And when it is yes, we need to give God his props. You know, I talk to so many people about the miracles on this show, and they ask me, they're like, what miracles are you talking about? They've never heard about it. Well, the media isn't going to tell them. You know, and people don't do their homework, so they don't know about them. And I tell them miracles happen every day. They happen all around us every day. You just have to open your eyes and you'll see them. If you take just a grain of faith, the smallest amount of faith is all it takes. You know, what did Christ say about the mustard seed? If you had the faith of that mustard seed, you tell the mountain to move, it'll get up and move. You know, so you know, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. But all you need is that spark, and you follow the Eucharist, you follow Christ, follow what the church has told us, you know, and that spark will turn into something. It's inevitable. You know, you were talking about the light coming in, shining on the Eucharist. So it reminded me of a story, I think it's in 3 Kings, where Solomon built the temple for the Holy Spirit, or for God, the first temple of the Jewish people. And when he built it, the Holy Spirit came into the temple, and the priests and everybody had to get out because they couldn't be in the presence of God. One part of the Trinity ran them out of there. So, you know, that's what came to mind when you told me that, or when you told that story. You know,
that's 2 Kings. That's yes, exactly. That was when Solomon built the temple. And I think it's interesting because God said, he said that he blessed off on the temple. And if you look inside this temple, it had examples of angels throughout the temple. And in the sanctuary, it had two large angels with a wingspan that ran from one side of the sanctuary all the way to the other side of the sanctuary. And why do I bring that up? Say that again?
Those were the cherubims. There were two cherubims in the wingspan.
Well, but these were large. These were large. They're not. They were not on top of the ark like what you're thinking. Also, these were angels that were huge. That the wingspan went from one side of the ceiling. To the ceiling of the sanctuary to the other side.
But
the reason I bring that up, and the reason I bring that up, because God said he blessed off on this temple. And this is a great example, because some of those people out there who don't believe in holy objects and call them like we call them icons or, you know, holy objects. But they want to try to call what we have in the church as graven images. They're not graven images. We don't worship these things. We don't worship angels or the statues of angels like St. Michael or Jesus, you know, the Sacred Heart of Jesus or the Virgin Mary. We don't worship these objects. But we love who they represent, what these angels and these statues represent. And so if God didn't like that, he could have said, I bless off on this temple, but take the statues out. He didn't do that.
Nah. He actually told them to put them there. But, yeah, we venerate things. You know, I mean, you got to fix your kids in your wallet. When you look at those kids and you talk to those pictures, you think that those pictures, I understand the word you're saying? No. But we use them to focus our veneration.
Exactly. I got a statue of St. Joseph just right next to me here. And I don't worship the statue of St. Joseph. I don't worship St. Joseph either. But I love who the statue represents. I love St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church. And I love Our Lady, Queen of Heaven. And I love Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, obviously, anything that reminds me of Jesus and Mary and Joseph and my guardian angel, I don't want to forget my guardian angel, because he's helped me a lot, too. I love talking about these angels and these miracles, but my guardian angel has had to put up a lot with me. Yes.
Well, me, my guardian angel has worked me over. And I thank him. I truly believe my guardian angel broke my back and broke my leg. I truly believe that, because it would have taken that to stop me from doing something foolish. And I thank you. I got my leg broke. It broke under my own weight right before COVID, and I wouldn't have gone along with the COVID lockdowns. I didn't go along with any of them. I didn't go along with the mask. I wouldn't have gone along with the jab, and my job would have been to give the jab and enforce the mask. So by taking me out before it went down, my guardian angel spared me that. And with my back, I was falling straight back from about 8 feet in the air. I should be paralyzed from the waist down. And I was rolled on my side midair and angled to where the only part of my body that would have been able to take the blow. And I walked away with 4 broken vertebrae, but I walked away. And I didn't wiggle my toes. And, that's the guardian angels. So, yeah, we never want to forget them. They're real, folks. They're real. And I thank mine more than I can put into words. Ooh. Heavy stuff.
Well, our faith has to be number one, and he helps us through our tribulations. And so, Mike, your status, you're going to be in the hospital for another couple of weeks, you think, or are they going to let you go home here shortly, or what's your prognosis here? Mike, you there? Well,
Mike.
And Mike, you there? Well, hopefully his phone didn't go out on him. He's as far as Doc. What about your brother? How's he doing?
He needs your prayers. I mean, we've gotten hospice involved. They're doing right by him. And they're doing some alternative treatments to strengthen his skeletal system. But he needs prayers. That's at this point, that's what will save him. So we need prayers. I believe that if we storm the gates of heaven with our prayer requests from my brother, I got to believe that something's going to happen. Now, the answer may be no. If God wants him, God wants him. And, Lord have mercy, thy will be done. And I stand by whatever decision God makes. But, I'd like to have him around. I've gotten used to him over the past couple of years. For those of you who don't know, I met my brother after he turned 50 years old. We never knew each other coming up. And, we've only known each other a few years now. And he's been diagnosed with bone cancer. And it's got a pretty good hold of him. So we need your prayers. St. Peregrine is a patron saint of cancer people that have been affected by cancer. So we pray to him. To St. Jude, St. Raphael, and to Mary, in the rosary. We pray to them all. And that's what that is. So I appreciate the prayers, and I thank y'all in advance.
Well, that is good. All right. Well, guys, we are at time. And I'm so thankful, Doc and Mike. Mike, are you there? I mean, can you hear us now? Are you there?
Yeah,
Mike?
I can hear you.
Oh,
there you are, Mike.
Good, we thought we lost you there. So.
Yeah, do we sound okay up there?
Yeah, you sound really good. I just want Mike. What is the prognosis that you're being given? Are they going to let you out of the hospital here within the next couple of weeks, or prognosis?
Well, the prognosis is I'll probably go home in another couple of weeks.
Okay. Okay, that'd be great to have you back in the saddle again.
Yeah.
It's good to have you here tonight.
Well, it's good to be here finally.
Amen.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead and say a prayer here. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come. Before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
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 And I just want to thank you guys for being with us and being the truth. How important. And I'm going to end with this. Soul of Jesus, sanctify me. Blood of Jesus, wash me. Passion of Jesus, comfort me. Wounds of Jesus, hide me. Heart of Jesus, receive me. Spirit of Jesus, enliven me. Goodness of Jesus, pardon me. Beauty of Jesus, draw me. Humility of Jesus, humble me. Peace of Jesus, pacify me. Love of Jesus, inflame me. Kingdom of Jesus, come to me. Grace of Jesus, plenish me. Mercy of Jesus, pity me. Sanctity of Jesus, sanctify me. Purity of Jesus, purify me. Cross of Jesus, support me. Nails of Jesus, hold me. Mouth of Jesus, bless me in life, in death, in time, eternity. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And thank you all out there in Deeper Truth Land for listening to us tonight and reading our articles. And thank you, Doc, and thank you, Mike, and thank you, Greg, wherever he's at. I know he's doing Deeper Truth work. And thank you, Greg. And he should be with us next Monday. Same bat time and same bat station. And we also want to thank Mary and give her that salute, that Deeper Truth salute. Salute. God bless you all. And Doc, you just have a good week, and you just take care of yourself as well.
Amen to that. I'm hoping to dig a hole.
Okay. And so. What's that?
I want to dig a pond. Open to. Don't know if it'll happen, but that's the plan. So. Anyway, God bless y'all. Be safe.
Okay, God bless you all. And we will close. We will close with this. We're going to pray the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be in Latin.
Nomine Patris Filii Sancti, Pater Noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra, panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos da malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, Filio, Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio, et nunc et semper saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri, Filio, Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, and good night there, Doc, and good night there, Mike, and we'll see you all next time. God bless. Good night, everybody. Peace.